doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329, during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back to Significant Others. I'm Liza Powell O'Brien. In yesterday's episode, we learned about the incredible life of Kasturba Gandhi, who was so beautifully voiced by my friend Dipika Guha. Today, Dipika joins us again to talk about Kasturba from the perspective of someone who grew up in an Indian family. Dipika, thank you for joining us today. I have such a rigidly Western perspective when it comes to Gandhi, and I'm wondering, what was the myth of Gandhi in your family, if there even was one?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I found myself, so Liza, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for the opportunity to go back to this story. It's been a while since I've even thought about Gandhi. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I grew up in a secular India in the 90s. And so I found it massively emotional yesterday and, you know, this last week. And as I was looking over the story again and seeing your point of view, not just on who he was as a national, international figure, but who he was as a husband and what this relationship really was between teenagers.
Yeah.
Not even.
Right. Like, barely. I know.
I think it was very simplified when I was growing up, sort of father of the nation, freedom, like he, you know, the Salt March and nonviolence. And, you know, we certainly didn't know about all of this stuff about his sex life. And, you know, that those chapters, I think, are only recently coming out. And
Well, and also it was, I mean, it's so difficult to evaluate from the perspective of, you know, a modern Western understanding of relationships, because I had to keep sort of retraining myself, even as I was reading about this and writing it down, that it's not to be subservient for his wife was a virtue. And, you know, right or wrong, judge that as you will.
Right.
It gave her life great meaning and purpose.
Right.
And, you know, so in a lot of ways, I feel like, oh, no, thanks. I wouldn't want to. That's not the marriage I'm hoping to enter into. But then there are probably, you know, values there that I can't appreciate, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that it's both and sort of kind of having to sit with the complexity of that he was selfish and narcissistic in this way in his pursuit of truth and purity, if we accept that, which I think, I mean, I think I do. I take that at face value. That is what was happening, and mm-hmm. he was maybe conflicted about his celibacy in a way that he couldn't express within the confines of the mission that he had taken on. Whatever that was, it wasn't. We can say it wasn't okay. And also, a man who embraced the widest possible of ideals, which is that, you know, until all of us are free, none of us are free, which mm-hmm. he did. Like, I think that's what I felt most strongly going back to this, that they were yoked together by that mission, and she, who knows how she felt about it, but right. like the catastrophe of that, like she could not have, I can't imagine that she could have known at 13.
Never.
What was going to happen, what was going to be asked of her, and I don't quite know the way that his philosophy sort of unfurled, but when it did, when it crystallized, you know, in South Africa, mm-hmm. it felt like there was no going back. That mm-hmm. was it.
Mm. Yeah.
And
no, I mean, I like when my husband goes on a diet, I'm annoyed. You know what I mean? Like I am so in awe of people who are able to suffer for for a real purpose. I'm such a marshmallow. But I'm wondering, because honestly, this subject was suggested to me for this episode, and I literally don't think I ever knew Gandhi had a wife. So how aware were you of her existence?
Not hugely aware. I mean, I knew that she existed, and I think we celebrate her birthday, possibly in India. There's that kind of like, we know, but she's a very sort of shadowy, in support of Gandhi sort of figure.
And interesting.
There's so much I don't know, but it's interesting how quiet that lineage has been. Like, he had 13 grandchildren, and we don't hear from them either.
Right. Is that partly because of some of the, again, this is all very kind of like, backseat understanding of the history of
speculative
it.
On my part, greatly speculative.
Perfect. That's what we're here for. It's my specialty.
Gossip about
exact things I'm very rarely acquainted with. Yes, that sounds great. Hit that subscribe button. So, but there was, as I understand it, sort of this, he was able to galvanize so much hope and then able to deliver on that hope in terms of liberating the nation. And then after the liberation, things weren't perfect. And there was a lot of infighting. And there was like a backlash. I think there's often a backlash for any great, person. And I wonder how much the quiet of the family comes from sort of retreating in the face of, hey, wait a minute. Turns out he wasn't perfect after all. And maybe he's actually to blame for some stuff, which, I don't know if that's true. And how much of it was more personal, like these poor children. I mean, growing up with an iconic parent is probably never uncomplicated, but he really would have been a tough one, I think, to have as a parent.
And I think maybe there's some of that, the sort of the shadow of how do you live up to that, the responsibility and maybe not wanting to, and the backlash and, India changing, and then the shadow of partition, which was so horrible and bloody and messy, and we were three countries on the other side of that struggle. And then it occurred to me today, is it because, unlike other dynastic figures in India, that family had nothing? Because that was part of Satyagraha, like they were poor. And so the descendants, I mean, I think everybody followed, sort of had middle-class lives, and there was no generational wealth, which is sort of unusual for a big political dynasty. And greed has been such a defining feature, I think, of modern India. And accumulation. And of course, I think about it in relationship to partition, and where in 1947, no one had anything. And so there has been this great emphasis on the growing middle class and accumulation of wealth. So I'm not unreservedly judgmental, just reservedly so.
Perfect.
of where we are. But like, I wonder if there's some shame around that, or some way in which those values, the values he held, and Gandhian values in a way, have just fallen out of fashion and fallen out in terms of what we're raised in.
Right. No one's even promoting them anymore.
No, or has any understanding of what that meant. And it was pretty common at the time that people understood it meant to devote your life to a cause bigger than you.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So I don't know if you do this, but I catch myself all the time sort of endlessly scrolling through cooking accounts on social media thinking, oh, I could make that. I could make that. That looks delicious and easy. I could totally make that. And then I don't. I just never seem to take that next step and go make those things and eat them. So now I have a new favorite thing to do, which is to scroll through the Factor website. Because they have all these photos of this gorgeous, healthy, fresh food that I always want to eat. And then instead of going to the store and shopping for ingredients and prepping and cooking, all I have to do is wait for it to show up at my house. That's how easy it is. The folks at Factor were kind enough to send us some to try, and I'm so glad they did because it really is terrific. Head to factormeals.com/significant50 and use code significant50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code significant50 at factormeals.com/significant50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
There's a moment you realize you're ready for what's next in your career. Maybe it's when you're trying a new scone recipe and think, I could open a cafe. Or maybe you're helping a coworker and say, I could teach a course on this. Whatever your moment is, it's never too early to plan for a career that lives longer. That's why, the younger you are, the more you need AARP. For skills training, resume tips, and job listings, visit aarp.org/work.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
I've been feeling so emotional about it because it just feels like that tie to secularism has gone in the last decade or so, because we've had a really right-wing government in India that has been beating the drum of Hinduism and Hinduism above all else. And Gandhi was, of course, fiercely, fiercely secular and, you know, deeply, partition hurt him, like it hurt the whole country, but hurt him enormously. I mean, he was so invested in protecting the Muslim population, which is there are more Muslims in India still than there are in Pakistan. Like, we have a huge Muslim population, and he was really believed that, you know, we have, as the Hindu majority, our obligations to protect them. And all of that has been turned on its head with the rhetoric of the government in recent times. And, you know, historically, Hinduism, Hindus, we had no identity. Like, the word Hindu was given to us by the invading Muslims. The Mughals, when they invaded India, kind of referred to everybody east of the Indus River as Hindus. We've had no identity. And I think that in this age of nation states and us clawing for some kind of sense of who we are, like, it's sort of that search has been co-opted. It was co-opted by the British first, you know, the whole divide and rule thing, because we had no unifying principle. We had nothing that was sort of tying the country together, because it really wasn't a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a recent invention, and they were opportunistic about it. And now it's been co-opted by the right to say that not only are we Hindus who have, you know, an identity that needs protecting, that we have been sort of hard done by because of our minorities. It's the same rhetoric that's happening
mm-hmm.
here, of course, and in many other countries. So, I was reading today that in India, in Parliament, there's a big kind of photograph of Gandhi, and opposite that photograph is a big photograph of the man who assassinated him.
Wow.
Who's being revered because, of course, he was Hindus for India for Hindus.
Right, right.
So I haven't lived in India for a very long time. And so I don't even know quite what it feels like now, and what that, our textbooks are all different than it was when I was growing up, because I grew up in a different country.
We're all in this moment of teetering between liberal democracy and autocracy and conservatism. And it's fascinating that it's resonating even in this way, like where you think there are some, surely there are some idols that are safe. No. And I thought maybe some of them wouldn't be safe for their own reasons. Like, yeah, okay, maybe Gandhi wasn't the best husband, but, you know, and we can fault him on that. But to feel that he's up for discussion in other ways too is interesting.
Yeah, interesting and saddening. And I found it sort of heartbreaking because, apart from, as you say quite rightly, there's been a reinterrogation of Gandhi in terms of his sex life and those brahmachari practices that he did, and quite rightfully so. But it also seems like we're missing out to focus on calling him out now. it doesn't account for the whole picture, of course, but
I was listening to this conversation between a South African freedom fighter who had been a white barrister there and a black British like civil rights advocate or agitator, and they were having this conversation about this kind of, you know, what do we let stand from previous generations mm-hmm. when we recognize how flawed the idols are. And the South African guy who had his arm blown off in a bombing during the fight against apartheid said, why not turn it into a sort of art exhibit where you invite artists to come and add to the statue and adjust it or layer onto it, instead of this sort of, you know, this urge to purify and cleanse and remove the history in an effort to right some sort of wrong? Why can there not be an ongoing, you know, active conversation, renegotiation about it that can be sort of beautiful? Which I was amazed by that suggestion.
Yeah, I think
that was
that's
great.
So beautiful, and is the kernel of so much that is uncomfortable to me about the whole call out situation, is that mm-hmm. we're losing the opportunity for dialogue in every instance,
mm-hmm.
in outright rejection. And I think it kind of loops back to Gandhi in a way, and the passive resistance, sort of the core of what he was saying, which is passive resistance and nonviolence. And it seems to me that at the heart of that, there is both acceptance. When you resist something, you are also accepting the conditions that it does exist. You're not saying mm-hmm. it does exist. So there's like a profound acceptance in that. And there's also, in not engaging with those terms, there's an opportunity for renegotiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it struck me as I was learning more on a granular level about his legacy, which again, I had known, you know, in a very broad strokes kind of probably whitewashed, not terribly nuanced understanding of his work, that this was never explicitly stated in anything that I read, but to me, it felt as if one of the levers that he was able to employ to great effect was shame, that he, you know, invited people, his people, and I know that is part of the complication of his legacy also, because, you know, the South African blacks felt excluded by him. And, you know, I know that there were caste issues initially in around his work, which I think he shifted during his time to address. But, you know, he invited people, especially when the women were able to get involved, you know, who were demonstrably vulnerable, and put them in, or invited them to put themselves into harm's way to expose the governments for being bullies. And that was effective. And I feel as if one of the characteristics of our current moment is that shame is leaching away, and that shame is this very useful part of human psyche, right? It's what keeps us all, you know, able to perform some sort of civil experiment with one another. And, you know, that's like, there's no shame on social media because we don't have the face-to-face interaction, you know, and people act and speak very differently on social media than they do in real life. And it's because they don't have to be accountable in person. So anyway.
Yeah. And I guess my question or my response to that is, can you have accountability without shame?
Like, yeah,
can
I don't know.
Can we get to, you're like, no.
I don't
can
know.
Can we get to a place where it's, because the fear about shame is that it is, underneath it is real resentment because you haven't processed. You haven't taken accountability, or you just want people to like you again. You just want the specter of shame off. So right underneath that, you've got another world war coming potentially.
Which is where we are.
It's exactly where we are.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, I could talk to you for hours. I feel like I've said many uninformed things, but
this is what we're about.
It's a pleasure to talk to you about them.
Shreds of thoughts. Thanks again to the brilliant and lovely Deepika Guha for joining us today. And listen in next time to learn why Abraham Lincoln insisted on getting married immediately after he proposed. And finally, if you enjoyed what you heard today, be sure to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.